Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and the time in between superhero TV shows and movies. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my mismatched buddy cop pair. John Moltz is here. Hi, John.
I'm still thinking about the end of WandaVision.
It was John all along. Guy English is also here. Hi, John. Hi, Guy. Hi, John. Hi, Guy.
You should see my hair now.
Yeah, I don't think we're that mismatched. You know,
I don't know.
Neither of us like anything. So, you know, we get along in that way.
I'm clearly the much put upon precinct captain who has been saddled with this pair of cops.
That is definitely the case.
The problem is we don't have a by the book put one. We just have two loose cannons, which is never a good combination.
Speaking of which, rest in power, Fed Cotto, who passed yesterday. He was on it, whatever.
Yeah,
he's awesome. Yeah. He's great, and like you said, captain of police. He's the best. He's so good. Yeah.
Almost the captain of the Enterprise too.
Yeah, I know. I saw that tweet last night. That would have been. Yeah, that would have been amazing. Yeah. Like he was up for.
It would have been
Jean
amazing. I mean, you know, it turned out very well, obviously. Because Patrick Stewart is fantastic, but at the same time, I wonder what it would have been like if Yaphet Kotto had been Jean Luc Picard.
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to have seen him as an episode, like a captain in an episode.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like or Picard's like old school buddy or something.
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah, right. Or Sisko, even, although Avery Brooks killed Sisko. So.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
Well, this is a show about Star Trek, where we talk about Star Trek.
It is. I think we've been pretty clear about that.
Yeah, that's nothing new. Well, normally we talk about superhero shows, which we will do this week, but WandaVision has come to a close, and The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the next installment of MCU's new TV stuff, has not aired yet, so we've got this little week in between, and I don't know, we're gonna talk about some stuff. We feel like we've neglected some stuff since WandaVision's been on. There's been a lot of superhero TV stuff going on elsewhere, so maybe we just take a quick spin through some of the other things that have been going on.
We've been packing it all with the conspiracy theory corner, and like
the corner needs to be cleared out, because we got to make room for the new conspiracies starting next week. So we got to get all your crap out of conspiracy corner, guys.
I'm not sure if we're going to have that many conspiracies. Maybe. Did you guys see they released, I think, what they're calling the last trailer?
I didn't watch it because I felt like I've seen enough and I know I'm going to watch the show. So I was like, you know what? I'm good.
I did see it. I did. I definitely watched it.
Yeah. I did too.
Thoroughly enjoyed it.
I did. I didn't want to watch it. And then I found myself clicking the button anyway. And I'm like, why? Why am I doing this?
I did watch the Microsoft ones with Sam and the Xbox guy. Why? I don't know. But I did.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
There were a couple promo tie-ins with the Xbox thing where it's Anthony Mackie talking to, you know, a guy. He's like, I've been gone for 5 years because of the blip. So what video games have I missed?
I did not see those.
Oh yeah, there's two of them. It's cute. Also, there's a all the terrible sites I read, which are like, you know, Avengers Endgame plot detail revealed by new Xbox things. There's a joke in there about how the guy at the end says his gamer tag, and it's the gamer tag that like Korg is playing against Endgame. And it's like,
Dude 69.
It's New Master 69. New Master. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So, yes, I guess that if you were worried about that plot hole, it's been closed.
So worried about it.
Well, it's funny because this is also the week where I saw several stories going like, oh, they said they're going to address who Jimmy Woo was looking for down the road. I'm like, in another commercial, maybe? Like,
yeah, really.
Yeah,
he was looking for Noob Master 69.
That's right. It's all tied together. This is the Microsoft Cinematic Universe, people.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Also, I don't care. Who cares?
It doesn't.
We want a Jimmy
really
Woo.
Matter.
He's there. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
And also, everybody, as with all these, like, you know, click mill sites, it was like somebody says, like, oh yeah, we're not gonna tell you, and you know, wait down the road, and it's like that just sounds like something you're just telling people to make them stop asking you stupid questions.
Yeah,
right.
Like, if it were important to the show, they would have dealt with it in the show. Therefore, it's not important to the show.
Yeah, exactly. Which I guess we're circling back around to talking about the WandaVision as a whole. I was happy that they didn't end up adding any more characters near the end. I was kind of even happy with the resolution of Ralph just being a dude. I think they did the right thing. Like, they focused on the characters. They focused on Wanda and her loss. And they focused on, I guess, Monica and Vision. Right? And Vision, if you take Vision as an aspect of Wanda, I think the show works really, really remarkably well, right? Like, the scene where Vision drops some philosophy bomb on White Vision, and he takes off. That's, since we know that the Vision we've been watching is an aspect of Wanda, that's her love. Like, her love has to let Vision go, right? Because he's dead. He's literally a ghostly form at that point. And that's cool. It's interesting. I think they did a really good job. It was a show about the grieving process and grief. And I mean, they're pretty explicit about that. Yeah.
Pretty topical now, right?
Yeah, very topical. Sadly so. I mean, it's always sadly so.
There's still a lot to unpack, I think. But we should also take a time to talk about some other stuff, since we did cover WandaVision in depth. I know we talked a little bit in our group chat about it, but Superman and Lois debuted while WandaVision was on. And I think all of us have seen at least the first episode. I've seen, I think, all three of the ones that have aired.
I've seen all three.
So we discussed that briefly. I will add, I think it's going on hiatus shortly, because there apparently was a COVID-related shutdown to production. So I'm not sure. There may be one more in the offing. But it will be on break for a little while. But that said, first three episodes, I feel like, gave us a pretty good tone and feel for what the show would be. And I think the thing that I appreciated the most about it is that production wise, it feels more like it reminded me more of Stargirl in its production value than the Arrowverse shows. And, not just
like special effects and whatnot, it's also plotting and characterization and taking the time to do certain things.
It's played a little more seriously, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word, but like grounded in some ways, despite being about Superman. Which I like about it. I think they've done a nice job of drawing these characters. It just feels more cinematic too, I would say. It's sort of, you know, maybe not as cinematic as something like, you know, WandaVision compared to the MCU movies, which felt very close to me, but it had a more cinematic aspect than a lot of the Arrowverse shows.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. Even season one of Arrow was, I think they had more money in season one than they had for most other seasons, but still wasn't quite up to, it was a good TV show, right?
Right.
Not,
but it was produced to be a TV show on a budget. Right. This clearly has a bigger budget.
Yeah, like he's like running around Vancouver, which is cool, and it looks awesome. Yeah. And it's like pretty basic. Also, I've noticed that a lot of these superhero TV shows now, they've sort of moved beyond the CW format of having a bunch of book clubs where they babble at each other, and then go and do the plan.
Yeah,
they're being more character based and sort of more dynamic in the way that they're reacting to the different stories of the characters has given them a bit of an out from the, how do we tackle the problem of the week? Let's have a chat and then go execute the plan. Yeah. Sort of.
I would also assume, I don't know this for sure, but I would guess this has fewer episodes in the season, right? This isn't a 22.
Yeah, it says 16, which is
15. Okay. Yeah.
Currently says 15 anyway, which is two more than Stargirl.
Yeah. So I kind of, you know, that's also part of it, right? You can take 7 or 8 episodes off the count and you can definitely spend some more money. And also what we learned from WandaVision, I think, and what we may learn from Winter Soldier and Falcon as well, is you can tell a good story in a lot fewer hours, right? Like not having to fill 22 episodes makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, a novel obviously has to be a certain amount of pages. I don't know what makes a novel versus
there's
a novella.
A law.
I'm sure
there's
you
a
do,
law.
But
yeah, it's fine. It's
is
very
it,
important.
Is it? It
no,
could be.
It's not
I don't
a
know.
Law. I'm just
well,
kidding.
Like, is no, it, not a legal law, but like, is there a publishing rule there of thumb is, that like this is a novel and that's a novella and like
there's
I'm on
rough...
contract to provide a novel and a novel is X and you didn't do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, normally your contract is to a word count and a word count. There are rough estimates and a lot of times it's more about eligibility for awards than anything. But, okay. You know.
Interesting. Okay.
It's so you not, do have it's to not work cut and dried.
Right. Word count is fascinating. Okay. I mean, obviously, number of pages is like just
it could be
just
anything,
a type
right.
size.
Yes,
yeah.
If exactly.
I did that in
yeah.
university.
Yeah. We all did that, right? I just, yeah. I turned in my 100 page.
Yeah.
I turned in my 100 page novel. It's one letter per page.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
A lot of howevers.
Yeah. But that's interesting. So, I think one of the great freedoms that streaming services have given us is, you know, A, the episodes don't need to be the same runtime. That is a huge burden lifted off. I think Mandalorian did that well, and WandaVision certainly did. The more sitcom-y episodes were brief, and the more MCU-ish bash-em-up spectaculars ran to like 40, 50 minutes each. That was awesome. Similarly, the episode count is like arbitrary. 9? Who does 9? That's a weird number, yeah. Except it works. And
doesn't right, and it doesn't matter either, right? Like you can do however many episodes you need. And in that case, yeah. I think they said it worked out to pretty close to 6 hours of content. And
yeah, I think so. So I mean, I watched them back to back a couple of weekends ago. And
right. So felt, I think they're aiming
like
more. Yeah. I mean, something yeah, like yeah. Mandalorian, WandaVision, and Falcon Winter Soldier, I think they'll all end up being roughly in the same amount of time, just parceled out into episodes of different lengths.
Yeah.
Which you can do.
I mean, it did almost beat the, hurt them because apparently they wanted to release the first 3 episodes at once.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what I was saying when I was being a jerk about the first time we've recorded. That third one really lands the hook in you, though, right? Like, the first two, you feel like you got a fish on the line, but you don't really know what's happening. And the third one, you know, you got a big one. Like, you're excited about this. I think that sort of paints a direction for where we're going.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, sorry, go ahead, John.
Well, I was just going to be getting back to Superman and Lois. I think it's, yeah, I mean, I agree with everything. I think it's done really well. There's a couple of things I think are not quite, I mean, maybe a little heavy-handed at the beginning. And I think it's toned down a little bit, which is good, which is like the sort of teen angst aspect of it was really over the top in the very beginning. And it's still high, but it's better. It's also just better explained now, I think. But the thing that's great about it is, I mean, the thing that's hard with Superman is the fact that the dude has such amazing powers that right. he's hard. Like, how do you set up a conflict for him? And you know, they
feelings,
do throw
John,
a guy at him.
You make it about feelings.
They do throw a guy at him who he has to punch a lot. Several people who he has to punch a lot. But also like the thing that they throw at him that's most interesting is like, oh, he's a father and now he has to deal with two teenagers.
Yeah.
That's a problem you can't punch.
I mean, you better. You really should.
Don't.
You really
no,
should not.
No, please don't make. We're not making that joke. I really liked it. I mean, I think they deal with it by dynamically scaling his powers as to what's appropriate. Like in that third episode, he gets a beat down from a guy who's huge. I don't know. That guy's like 8 foot tall. He's big.
FYI, that actor, the guy who played Colossus. In the X-Men movies.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, that's
well,
great.
How could you tell, really?
Well, I don't know. I mean, in those X-Men movies, he looked more handsome. In this one, he's looking more angry. He's obviously
less covered in metal, too, you know.
Well, yeah, the metal. Yeah, but the Colossus guy very rarely Colossus'd up. That's a word. He
stood there with his shirt off.
Yeah, which is weird. I mean, maybe that's a Russian thing. God knows. Putin does it enough. But he gets a real beatdown from him. And then he just sort of floats up and goes into, he like levels up, basically. Somehow beating Superman down allows him to unlock the level you don't want to have to mess with. And he destroys the guy.
Also, can I add a fun fact to that too? Say, because I just looked him up on Wikipedia. He auditioned for Superman Returns and lost out to Brandon Routh.
Oh, that's awesome! I'm glad to have him back.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he lost a job. Terrible.
Well, congratulations.
No, I mean,
he was also the Minotaur in Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh man, that guy's got a good resume.
Yeah.
Wait,
he's done a lot of stunt
and
stuff
grit,
too.
And someone named Gridlock, who I can't even remember in The Flash.
Oh yeah, I remember him.
I don't remember that character at all.
I don't know.
There are so many characters.
He was also someone called Jackhammer on Arrow, yeah, just to throw that out there. So. Yeah. So he's making the rounds.
That's
he's
cool.
Definitely yeah. playing that guy.
Anyway, yeah, I liked him. I guess we're not going to see much more of him, though.
So. Spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
I will say, I agree with John. I think the rooting it in a more emotional core, and I agree the angst factor is high, although I would argue arguably even less than some of the other CW shows, which are nominally about adults.
Yeah, I mean, they're teenagers, so there's some excuse for it. Also, young actors, and more specifically, a show that is just starting off.
Right.
Yes. You know, like right. the first.
And that's the thing that kept me watching. I was like, this is a little much. But I thought they'll get their feet. You know, I mean, they'll right. find their feet.
I also think it's tricky too, because you're dealing with two very different. For example, I think the kid who plays the Jonathan, the football player, is really good.
He's great.
And he doesn't deal. And I think they've given him a somewhat simpler role to play. Because the other son is the one who's supposed to be, you know, he's had some issues. He's had some mental health stuff he's been dealing with. And I think that's just a more challenging role. Like we've spent more time with him and delved a little bit more into his, emotional
motivations.
Stuff. Yeah. And so I think that's just, there's a little more angst there as well. But that's also by design, because of what we're dealing with here. It doesn't feel like, say, Smallville, though, right? Like, despite the thing that evokes some of that, it doesn't really feel like it, which is nice. And
yeah, but Jonathan, the football playing guy, really seems to carry a lot more of Clark's spirit in a way. Mm-hmm. In that, you know, they go to play football, and he's kind of mad that his space is being invaded. But he's ultimately cool with it, and he encourages his dad to let his brother go with it. That's a very selfless act, you know, like that's like heroism with a small H, but like really he's just looking out for his brother. He wants his brother to be happy. And that sort of embodies.
It's about the most, as much as
lifting up a car. Like,
yeah, it's the most you can hope for with a teenager too. Right. Like it's about his.
Yes. Yeah, he's sulky at first, and then he comes around when he realizes how important it is to his brother, and he's like, well, it's good. Yeah,
It's interesting, too, how much of this has focused on not sort of, like, there's clearly overarching plot stuff, right, where, like, there's a mysterious bad guy, and in one of the episodes, there's some tie-ins to maybe a multiverse thing happening.
I do worry a little bit about Laser Eye Superman making a... I don't know. I mean, it seems like they're hinting at a dark alternate universe or a dark future.
Right. Yeah. That's all right. I mean, I don't know where they're going with it, but I think it's interesting too, right? Like this entire past episode dealt with that not at all. And instead, if there was conflict in sort of beyond the internal family conflict, it was all Lois, which I thought was a nice. I mean, the show is called Superman and Lois, right? And like they kind of got parallel tracks going on in terms of their own plots and their own villains and stuff like that, and I'm enjoying that aspect of it as well, because it's tough to, when you have one character who is a superhero and the other character who is not, it can be tough to get that balance right, like how do you decide what people tune in for? Are people tuning in to watch Superman beat the crap out of somebody, or are people tuning in to watch, you know, somebody uncover hidden agendas, etc.?
Well, to that end, Peter Larry wrote in and suggested that Lois was a bit of a dummy this past week. And it's, I mean, I really do hope that they start doing something better. Like, she's kind of...
I try not to nitpick that stuff. I mean, my wife was a journalist, so, I mean, it's... a lot of it is... And I know not to watch this show with her, because she will not be able to accept... you know, almost all of that. It's a TV representation of.
Sure, but she gets her car blown up. Like, I feel like a lot of things are. Who knows? It's three episodes. I don't know. But it feels like that character. And that character in Superman in general is. She goes in and stirs up the hornet's nest.
Right.
Like it's a utility player in some ways.
I mean,
like, you know?
Think about what she does in Superman Returns. I mean, she goes onto that. Right. She brings her child onto Lex Luthor.
Right. I think exactly. This is the thing that's always tricky. And Jason and I were talking about this on a different show about, you know, like characters making decisions that you don't like. Right. And it's like, is a character making a decision that is a bad decision, but in keeping with what that character would do? Because
is this for all mankind? Because I think I know exactly the decision you're talking about. I haven't listened to that yet.
But I mean, that's the thing is you have to a certain degree, I think you have to separate that because characters will make bad decisions, just like any of us make bad decisions, except for John. He's perfect.
I thank you for that.
I mean, he did agree to
bring it up myself. I hate having to bring it up myself on every podcast.
You did agree to do this show. So, you know.
Yeah, but you're not. You're pretty close.
You're pretty close.
I definitely make some mistakes.
You're throwing us a bone. Like this is the glasses on Clark Kent that make you make people not suspect that you're perfect.
I do think it frustrates me a lot when people argue that like characters do stupid things, and it's like and people attribute that to the writers a lot of times, like just needing the characters to do something so the plot could happen. And I don't deny that happens, but I think people are too quick sometimes to mash those things together. It's a story.
Those are two very, very different things, right? A character can have motivations that are ultimately self-destructive, but that doesn't mean that they're not being true to the character or that they're existing purely to move the plot along like that.
And I want to... The other thing which came up briefly in our conversation in our group chat is that I think people are very quick to forget that these are fictional characters, you know? We had that comment. Somebody tweeted something about, I can't wait to see all the people who complained about Wanda doing these terrible things, rooting for, you know, the guy who killed Iron Man's dad. I'm like, okay, Iron Man's dad is not a real person. I think you need to make some jumps here and realize this is a superhero story and we don't need to defend it like that.
Iron Man's dad is suffering from anything, it's after Don Draper made him walk up all of those stairs in the office thing, and he just vomited oysters all over the floor in front of his client. That's a deep Mad Men cut.
Very specific reference I do not get.
You don't get it? You haven't seen Mad Men?
No, I never watched that show.
I did watch that show, and yes.
Okay.
I saw the first episode, which I thought was good, but I just didn't think it was for me particularly.
Yeah, that's maybe true.
Let's allow characters to make bad decisions sometimes, even if it's like a horror movie, right? Like you watch a horror movie and you're like, don't go into that basement. And you're like, I wouldn't go into that basement, but the character's going to go in the basement.
You're watching to yell at the character, right?
Exactly. Oh my God.
That's the reason you're watching.
So many bad decisions I've seen on television.
Also, I think one of the central conceits of like horror movies or superhero stuff is that none of these people grew up watching horror movies or superhero stuff, right? Like you need to have somebody be in a zombie movie and not have seen like any of the Romero films,
right? Unless like you're doing that as like a self-referential thing, right? Like that's a different thing though. That's a different thing
but in order to like there's a I don't know creepy stuff going on in the basement, I'm gonna go explore it, is like without having a framework of what happens in horror movies in your head, like it's a basement. It's my basement. I'm going to have to go down there and find out what's creaking down there. Like, will I be scared? Probably, but ultimately it's going to be a mouse. Like, turns out in the movies,
there is an argument for the, like, doing things to advance the plot, because it's like, if you never go into the basement, this is a boring movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I anyways,
Tony Stark should not have been doing a weapons demonstration in Afghanistan. That was incredibly stupid.
That's true. I agree. And you know, don't play with radioactive spiders. There's a lot of things we can learn, is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, long-winded way of saying I'm intrigued with what they have done so far in Superman and Lois. I'm not sure, you know, I'm not like 100% sold on it, but I am really enjoying it. I would give a lot of credit to both Tyler Hoechlin and Elizabeth Tulloch for like the grounding those characters. The only thing I mentioned, I think the two things that bug me, and these are total nitpicks, is one, Tyler Hoechlin looks just a smidge young. I know he's Superman. Yes. It's fine. But like, I'm like, how does that man have two teenage sons? How old was he? Yeah, but it's fine.
I think the youngness is fine because he's Superman, you know?
I mean, yeah, he doesn't
age as fast.
Right.
And they call it out a little bit in the
show. It's a total nitpick. It's not going to stop me from enjoying the show, but it's just something that did like give me a hitch at one point.
I thought you were going to talk about how beefy he looks in the
suit. His costume is a little overdone because he's not an unbeefy guy.
Yeah, he's...
And you don't need Superman to be...
He's clearly strong, but he's not a brick...
Yes. House. You can just say house.
Right. Thank you.
You can just say house.
Thank you.
And you don't need Superman doesn't need to be. Right?
No, like that's, no, of course.
Yeah. He can be kind of... I mean, Christopher Reeve was not, you know, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And it was fine. There's no problem with that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I don't know if you guys noticed. Well, I mean, I know you did because you saw the documentary. But Vision is in a muscle suit the whole time, basically. Even when he's under his regular clothes.
Oh, I could, well.
They have like a fake ass on him. Some of those things they've got. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't think Paul Bettany just ripped?
He definitely looked a little. I mean, like, there's the, in the end where he's talking with her and the, you know, just before the house disappears, like, you can tell that he's got, I mean, he looks like he has fake breasts, basically. I mean, he's standing there.
The thing is,
it's a little bit too much, too.
The cool thing about that is that both him and Elizabeth Olsen make it work, right? Like, you don't think this is a silly man in a muscle suit wearing a turtleneck because it's just such a heartfelt performance, right? Like it manages to overcome like the sort of the silliness of the whole situation. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't pronounce his last name, but Superman does too. Clark manages to make that work in a really real way.
Yeah, he's really good. I mean, we saw a bunch of him in Supergirl and in the crossover stuff. And I think he is really good at both Superman and Clark, which is important. Yes. And I love some of his Clark stuff. There's a bit at the end of the third episode where he's volunteered to be the assistant coach at the football team and he's trying to carry the water cooler.
Right.
And that's very funny and very well done where he's pretending that it's like really heavy. So I like that aspect of it.
Yeah. My other nick is I don't remember the character's name, but Lana's husband is
oh, transparently like a dick, basically.
Cartoonishly dickish. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll just turn that into a redemption thing at some point. I agree. It's a little over the top of how hostile he is, but they do go into some stuff in like the family dynamics in episode 3, I think, that also helps explain some of that, which is nice.
Right. Yeah. Because part of our question is like, why would she be with this guy? He's so awful.
Let's just rate it right now. I'm optimistically, Biff, like on the margin of Biff and John Jr. I think it's good. I like where it's going. I think it's got legs. I sort of like the setup that they've done with Luther.
Mm. Yeah.
And his power armor.
It's not purple and green.
It's not, no, but it's just a paint job away from it, right?
Exactly.
It's very Halo-ish too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I like the way
they kind of explain why it looks like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, I think they.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like the way they've dealt with the kids. I think it's pretty good. Again, you know, 3 episodes in, and it is better than 3 episodes in of TNG or DS9, both of which I really love. Like
that was a long time ago, though.
Yeah, but it's cool that the art of making TV shows has progressed to the point that like the first 3 episodes are still actually pretty good.
Yeah,
as opposed to what sticks on the wall kind of thing. You know,
I agree. Yep. I agree with the guy, and I think the thing that's keeping me watching is if this were something, and I hate to keep coming back to the production value because I don't want to be so shallow as to say that's the only thing that counts, but the whole thing feeling more. Again, cinematic, just for lack of a better word, has kept me involved and interested in it in a way that I don't think I would be if this was another sort of cut from the same cookie cutter as the Arrowverse shows.
Yeah.
I probably would have bailed by now.
Yeah. I would probably agree with that, except for the fact that that introduction in the very first episode
is great.
They just nailed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a so great good. Bit.
And the bit where he saves the kid from the car flying over the.
Yeah.
The Arrowverse is just, it's so perfect for Superman, and it just had me, you know, they got me right then.
Right, and to our point,
that got me through the, you know, my nitpicks about the rest of that episode, and completely won me over.
Right, because
then they've managed to deliver smaller levels that same thing throughout the other two episodes.
Right. To go back to our previous, like, many conversations we've had about this before, this Superman spends a lot of time saving people.
Yeah.
And that is good, because what we deal none of us, I think, are looking for is the Superman that they tease at one point, as we were talking about in the alternate timeline, right? Who's just a, like, you know, a murderer.
It's actually the Zack Snyder Superman.
Yes, exactly. It kind of feels like
I said the name, damn it.
Yeah, sorry.
Come on.
I'll have to bleep it.
I dodged that name. Yeah. Now that you're doing a bunch of editing. I really admire that aspect, particularly. Heroes save people, Superman most of all, right? And one of the fascinating things about this show is his eagerness to save people and help people, especially the people he loves the most, is in direct conflict with him being a good father.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they set that up explicitly. It's like,
he's always got to go.
Listening in on us? Because that's, you know, we're not six anymore. Like, we're going people, and we can't have this. And, you know, he ultimately fails at that by rushing to the school to try to, I mean, ostensibly to save his kid. Well, it's mostly to save the kid that's about to get his face blown off by eye lasers. But that essential conflict makes this interesting to me, right? Like, I'm Superman. I want to save everybody. I want to do the best possible thing I can. Meanwhile, my kids are going through something and I can't possibly save them. And the more I intervene, the worse it's going to get.
Right. And if you were, you know, if you as a parent had those kinds of powers, would you not be tempted to use them to watch out for your kids all the time? Right.
Totally.
And that's, completely. I like that. I agree with Guy. I think that's an interesting position to put Superman in, because, as John said earlier, it's not a problem you can punch your way out of, and it's not a even though you can use your powers in some way, like he speeds to school or he overhears them with the super hearing, right? Like, all of that stuff. But it's a conflict. Like, how are these kids going to grow up on their own? How are they going to, you know, develop and become, so, you know, good people and adults on their own?
Yeah. One of the most Superman things I saw in that episode, it was not the fight stuff. It was, he had a conversation with Lewis over the kitchen table. Classic. You know, that's what Paula Shipman's talk about all the time. And she's like, okay, go make them the same promise that you made me. Like, don't interfere. Don't listen to their lives. Don't overly monitor them. But, you know, if they need help, a button. Like, you're just a button away, kind of thing. And he's standing there next to his pickup truck in the next morning to drive him to school, and he tells him he was wrong, and he told him, I won't be doing that anymore, and I give you my word. And then that's it, and they're like, okay, good. Like, that's enough for them. It's not a giant speech. It's not like he doesn't need to implore anybody. He's like, I'm Superman, and I gave you my word, and that's as good as gold.
I'm your dad, right? Like,
well,
I'm Superman,
yeah,
but I'm also your dad.
Well, yeah, but it's a level of trust there, right? It is the, you know, I've said this before, like, Captain America's superpower is to convince people of doing the right thing. His real superpower, like, not punching people. And that aspect of Clark in that moment is the truth, and the truth, justice, and the American way kind of thing. He's like, this is true, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to live by it. And I really, really like that. I don't know. It was just solid writing. It wasn't overwrought, and it worked. The kids were kind of dismissive because he's their dad, but, you know, he meant it. Like, it felt good. It felt good for me to watch that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be keeping our eyes on it. We'll see how it develops And maybe we'll have a chance to talk about it a little bit later in the season when we've got a break between our next Marvel shows. But we will be back next week to talk about the kickoff of Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yay!
Yay! I'm very excited. As a as yeah, I acknowledge Sam Wilson fanboy, I am definitely here for this. So I'm ready.
Turns out the Rebel from Solo is also
Aaron Collins.
Like, she's getting typecast as a guy that kicks our heroes in the balls. But cool.
Sometimes they need it.
Yeah, I mean, these things happen. All right. Until then, though, I'd like to thank my compatriots as always. John Moltz, thanks for being here.
If you like my outfit, my mom made it.
Guy English, always a pleasure.
John's mom made my outfit too.
Man, I didn't get one. Man,
she, you know, she when I was a kid, she made me that Captain Kirk shirt, the wraparound Captain Kirk shirt.
Oh, oh nice.
Oh man.
Yeah.
The green one with like the
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a photo of that?
No, I wish I did, but I don't.
That's so
cool. Shame.
I know. It's a shame. I know. I missed that. Doesn't fit anymore. Yeah.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah. She didn't make it for me when I was 18.
Oh boy. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in. We appreciate it, and we'll see you next week.
Somebody text me the answer to this, but what happened in that final scene? I'm kind of curious.
We're doing this live? Is that what
we're doing this
no,
live?
No, I guess it can wait until after the show's just, over. But like, I don't want to spoil
anything.
The listeners
will love that. We just text a guy the answer.
Yeah.
A, I don't know what you're talking about, and B, I'm not going to do that.
All right. Okay. I'll catch up for you after.
The caller will take his answer off the air.
Well, because I just don't think it's fair to ruin a show that we haven't been covering.
I'm not trying to ruin the show. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
In the final. Season.
No, it's fine, guy. It's fine, guy. We'll just roll it back. It's cool. We're good. We'll talk about it after the show.
You know what? I'd feel bad about you having to edit all of this, but
it's too late. That ship has sailed.
Your technical troubles.
Minutes left anyway.
Oh, do we? Okay.